AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, one of the big political issues during this campaign season, or at least should be one of the big political issues, is campaign finance reform and making sure we have good, clean elections. And one of the groups locally here in Minnesota trying to help with our election systems is called Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections, and they recently created their election reform grades, which is a quick way for Minnesotans to learn which candidates for the Minnesota Senate support and oppose five reforms that have been proposed by the Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections. So joining us now is George Beck. He is a former chair of the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, and he's a retired administrative law judge and current chair of the MNCCE. Again, that abbreviation is for Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Glad to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about how this group got started, Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections. Looks like you guys have some supporters from all across the political spectrum. So tell us about the group and how it got started.
Well, we got started about 4 years ago, Brett, and we've steadily grown since then. We're governed by a board of directors, and we are pretty much an all-volunteer organization. And in order to do this survey, we enlisted a couple of brilliant young interns who helped us pose questions to the candidates for the state senate.
Gotcha. So let's run through some of these five reforms that you guys are proposing. And by the way, these are also the five questions that were asked to each of the candidates running for state senate in each and every race in Minnesota. And the number one issue you guys have listed is trying to get rid of Citizens United. And I agree, that is certainly something that is very important that we need to either get rid of or curtail. But that's certainly going to be tough to do as an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But, George, what could we do here in Minnesota in terms of trying to curtail some of the impacts that Citizens United has had on the unlimited amount of dark money that can be spent on campaigns?
20 states have passed resolutions asking Congress to support an amendment reversing Citizens United. Surprisingly, I think Minnesota has not yet done so.
Really? Wow.
And so that's number one on our list for the next session, is to see that they do that. And as you said, it's a big lift. Two-thirds of Congress has to propose it, and three-quarters of the states have to adopt it. So it may be a long-term effort, but it's the single most important thing that we can do in combating money in politics.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about another issue that you guys have listed among your five reforms, and this has to do with disclosing dark money that is spent on campaigns. So at least here in Minnesota, how can we build a law that would, well, allow some of these super PACs not to find loopholes around these disclosure rules where we actually would find out where money is being spent on politics? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we have a special little situation here in Minnesota that needs to be cleared up, and that is on what's called electioneering communications that are like mailings and TV ads and so forth, just before the election. And if it's termed to be an issue ad, not using adversarial terms, then the organizations that do this sort of work don't have to disclose their contributors. And this is, we're one of, I think only 25 states that haven't corrected this. And we've had bills going back to at least 2014 that haven't progressed. And then again, there's the federal problem. 501c4s are introducing contributions into Minnesota without any disclosure by hiding behind the Internal Revenue Service law. And that's a federal problem, but it's easily fixed. It just requires a statute, no constitutional amendments required. I think everybody deserves to know who is financing the candidates that they are considering whether or not to vote for.
Well, it's so interesting you bring up, because oftentimes we think of Minnesota as being the gold standard for elections, but you just brought up two examples where, well, we certainly do have some room for improvement in terms of that dark money disclosure. And then you were talking about how we're, well, not one of the states that have signed on to try to change Citizens United. So that's an interesting aspect to bring up, because we think very highly of ourselves sometimes as Minnesotans, but as you bring up, we do have some room for improvement in terms of the laws that we have on the books here in our state.
It is surprising.
So I want to talk about another topic, and this has to do with public financing of elections. So in case people aren't quite familiar or aren't experts on this, what's the status right now in Minnesota in terms of the public financing of elections, and how can we improve it?
Minnesota has a decent public financing situation right now. You're probably familiar with the $50 refund
right.
that you can get from the state if you give $50 to a candidate for the legislature. And that's a nationally known and praised program. And we also have a public subsidy for candidates. And that is funded by a checkoff on your taxes plus a legislative appropriation. And I think it results in about $5,000 going to a candidate for the election campaign. That's not incredible, but it's important. And more importantly, 86% of the candidates have applied to participate in that this year, which means that they have to limit their spending to some $65,000. And I think that's a big benefit for the people of Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. The last two reforms that you guys are proposing, one is the national popular vote, and I've talked about this often on our show, how, well, if we can put together and have Minnesota become part of the Interstate Voting Compact, that would certainly, they'll set things up to eventually make the Electoral College obsolete. So I'm sure, as you can talk about more, yeah, switching to a national popular vote system instead of having, well, an electoral college would be beneficial to Minnesotans and all voters, where we could simply have a system where, when it comes to presidential elections, one person equals one vote.
Well, this national popular vote law would require that Minnesota's electors would go to the presidential candidate with the most popular votes nationwide, but not until states with 270 electoral votes agree to do the same. And this law has been passed in 15 states plus the District of Columbia for a total of 196 electoral votes. So this is not out of reach. And most people are surprised that this law is constitutional, but it is because states control elections under the U.S. Constitution. And it's, you know, it's just a shame that in our country, when the most people vote for a candidate, that candidate does not necessarily win. And the present system centers the election in maybe 10 states, and the rest are ignored. And it's a Electoral College is kind of an anachronism of slavery, and was a compromise necessary when our Constitution was adopted, but it's high time that we had the popular vote prevail for president.
Yeah, exactly, and that's an entirely different topic that we could do an interview on, which is the history of the Electoral College, because people often mistake what the original intentions were of the Electoral College, so glad you brought that up as well. The final reform that you're proposing, again, over at your organization, Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections, and by the way, they also just released election reform grades for each of the candidates running for state Senate this fall. The final reform you guys are proposing is to try to make sure we don't have gerrymandering in Minnesota. And George, this issue I find really interesting, because I wonder after this election cycle if we might even have Republicans on board with setting up some sort of nonpartisan redistricting commission, or basically not just leaving it up to the legislature to draw the boundaries. Because We're already guaranteed during the next redistricting cycle, Democrats are going to have a seat at the table with Governor Tim Walz currently in the governor's mansion. And if the DFL takes both the Senate and the House, all of a sudden Republicans are shut out of the process and DFLers could gerrymander if they choose. So this is an important topic because I wonder, even though oftentimes people think of, well, only Republicans gerrymander, well, maybe here in Minnesota, Republicans could come on board with trying to set up a nonpartisan commission simply because they could be the ones shut out of redistricting here in our state after 2020.
Well, I think that emphasizes the nonpartisan nature of reform here. And Democrats have gerrymandered. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know what would happen if there's a trifecta here in Minnesota next year. We don't want to be like Wisconsin.
Right.
In Wisconsin in 2018, the Democrats had 53% of the statewide assembly vote, and they ended up with 36% of the seats in the assembly. And that's just disenfranchising a lot of people in Wisconsin. You know, there's a nationwide effort in this regard, and this is something that Minnesota really needs to get done. A lot of groups are working very hard on it, including ours and Common Cause Minnesota, and I'm very hopeful that in 2021 this will pass.
So a couple more final questions for you here, George, before we have to wrap things up. Tell us about these grades that you were given to each of the candidates running for state senate. That is obviously the chamber that is really up for grabs during this election cycle. So it sounds like you guys sent out questionnaires to each of the candidates, regardless of party. What sorts of questions did you ask on this questionnaire, and how did the grading system kind of work out, if you can talk about that?
We contacted each candidate for the Senate, and I think there were about 165 in all for our 67 districts.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
And we asked them the five issues that we've just talked about, whether or not they approved of the reform on those issues. And they were assigned grades, and the grades aren't the most important thing. I guess it's their answers that are the most important, but grades seem to catch attention. And they can be found at mnelectiongrades.org. And if you go there, you can find your Senate district with your address and then look up the answers from the candidates in your Senate district.
Yeah,
and we just think...
Oh, go ahead.
We just think that it's absolutely important for people to know about these democracy issues and where the candidates stand. And so, you know, we're primarily about education. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this is. And, you know, that's what we do. We by the way, we have a Zoom set up for the 30th of September with Nancy McLean, who wrote the book on democracy and the effort by right-wing people to try to disassemble our democracy. And I hope people will pay attention to that, too.
Absolutely. And even going back to those grades that your group gave out, important to point out that you're not endorsing any candidates, as you said. It's just an educational process so people can figure out where each of the state Senate candidates stand on the issue. So, yeah, that's an important distinction to make, and you can find those grades over at mnelectiongrades.org, mnelectiongrades.org. And then, as you said, George, also want to promote that event you have coming up. You said that was September 30th, correct?
That's correct. It's a Zoom at 7 p.m., and let's see, how can you find out about it, I suppose, is the question.
Let's see. I'll edit this out. Yeah, I was going to say, I can look for the website. I don't have it off the top of my head here, too. Beauty of recording. Yeah, I can splice it in. Let's see if
it's cleanelectionsmen.org. And the information is on the homepage.
Gotcha. And that website is cleanelectionsmn.org, so you can check that out coming up on September 30th. We've been speaking with George Beck. He is a former chair of the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, also a retired administrative law judge and current chair of Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections, as they recently put out their election reform grades for each of the candidates for the state Senate, since that is the chamber that is really up for grabs this year, where you can figure out where all of the candidates stand on election reforms issues. And George, you guys are doing important work over there at Minnesota Citizens for Clean Elections, and I really appreciate the time today for you coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Brett.